I love that sound. I don't know whoever called it the pitter-patter of little feet, never had little kids. It's like the stomp, stomp, stomp of Godzilla. At least that's the way it is in our house. I don't know about in yours, those of you who have had kids running up and down your halls at 4 in the morning, coming and standing by your bed silently as they stare at you and you wake up and go, "Wah!" You'd think I'd be used to it. I have 3. I'm not yet. There's just something about the vulnerability of that sleep state. But you wake up and you see those 2 little eyes glowing in the dark. I want cereal. Okay. I'm so thankful for our kids. And I am so thankful for our church. This marks my 51st week as your pastor. Next week, it'll be my 52nd. That's how math works in time. As Zachary asks me all the time, "Dad, why is it still like 100 days till my birthday?" I don't know, Zach. That's just how time works. I don't understand. I didn't make the rules. I was just born into them and live by them. But it is. It's my 51st week as your pastor, and it has been a delight. And it has been a joy. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for calling me to come and to be your pastor. Thank you for the kindness and generosity that you showed. 52 weeks ago, I was still a change leader at a large Fortune, I don't know, like Fortune 300 company. I was in management and leadership, and my specialty was going into broken systems and fixing them and working with teams to identify the problems and why things were going badly and fix them. 51 weeks ago, I was installed here as your pastor. Talk about a big change. Talk about going from the city to coming up to the thumb, leaving the home that I had, the town that I had grown up in, even though I'd spent time in Chicago and I'd spent time in rural Illinois. It was a time of change. When I was installed here 51 weeks ago, we didn't even own a house here yet. We were still commuting back and forth from Livonia. And our truck died. And folks took up a collection to rent us a van so we could get the whole family up here. And then somebody lent us their truck for a week or a little over. And this church has been kind and gracious and generous to us. And you have made the transition from the life that I had always known into a new life and a new identity as your pastor. Absolutely wonderful. And this year has been a special time that I will cherish the rest of my life. And I just want to say thank you. Before I get into the state of the church address that I'm going to be bringing and then the sermon today, I just want to take a moment and say thank you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Thank you for letting me into your lives, many of you into your homes. The time that we have spent together, those of us who've been fortunate enough to gather together during the week or here on Sundays just to get to know you and be invested and involved and have you invested, and those of you who came over to our home on Sunday nights, it's been such a treat for us to be here. There's nowhere else we'd rather be. Not even Hawaii this time of year. Wow. Yeah, that's how much we love you guys. We'd rather be in the thumb in Michigan's winter than in Hawaii. But it's true. This has been a great year. And I want to share, if we were to take a snapshot of where are we as a church and what's happened in the last 51 weeks. As I mentioned, we closed the books on last year's church year. It's over, it's done with. Everything that happened in the past is now in the past. There's no going back, there's no changing it. What's done is done. For better or worse, it is what it is. But here we are in the first week of March in a brand new church year with nothing but blank pages in front of us. And we're going to come to some time of dreaming on what we can write on those blank pages. But first, I want us to take a look at the chapter we just closed. The Ellington Church is 105 years old. I did the math. That means I have been the pastor for roughly 0.96% of this church's life. Yeah. This church is older than anybody in this room. In fact, this church is nearly older than anybody alive on earth today, which is a pretty cool thing when you stop and think about that. Are we fulfilling the promise that Christ would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Well, it's been 105 years and the gates of hell haven't prevailed against Ellington, and I can tell you that if we are living according to Christ, then no matter what happens to a church that goes by the name of Ellington, the church of Jesus Christ will never falter and will never fail, and the enemy will not prevail. In fact, I have seen over the last year triumph over the enemy in this church. And that's a powerful thing. I have witnessed healing. I have witnessed transformation in the lives of some of our people. An ongoing relationship with Christ where they are experiencing regeneration and renewed purpose and a general sense of revival in the church. I hope you have too. I know some of you have expressed to me you've seen some good things going on. So there are reports. Every year we put out reports. The pastor does, our local licensed ministers do, our officers do. We have a set of reports. We made 35 copies, roughly one per family. If you want another copy, just let us know. We can make that happen. But please take a look and read that. I'm not going to share everything that's in those reports right now. It's a lot. But I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of those reports and look at them, because those are the details of the story that God is writing in us as the Ellington Church of the Nazarene. That's the story of who we are and what we've been doing. And just with any biography or any book, there's always more to it than what lives in those pages, but what lives in those pages matters. So take it, read it, be encouraged, because this is what, whether you have been here for a couple hours today and this is your first experience here, or you've been here nine decades, doesn't matter. You're a part of this story in some way. And so I want to take a look and highlight some of the things that I have seen that are incredible and impactful. But before I do that, there's in the letter that I wrote to accompany the reports at the opening of the first page, there's a line in bold. It is you. Yes, you. Each and every one of you. That makes this church such a special and holy place. A community is nothing more than the conglomerate of its parts. The body is not the body without its members. This church is not who she is without you. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for helping write this story. Thank you to everyone who prays over this church, who serves in this church, who loves in this church, who lives in this church, not the building, but the body. Thank you. Let's look at some of the fun things that we've seen in this last 51 weeks. Our average worship attendance has grown in the last year by 9. Where we were at 66 in the 2017 church year, in the 2018 church year, we are at 75 people on average for weekly worship service attendance. Now, that's not SDMI. Our Sunday school classes, even if you discount the things that go on throughout the week, I think we have more than 2/3 participation. I'm not sure the exact number. 49 was the average for Sunday school. Okay. Yeah. That is awesome, and that is great. And I want to share that as something to say thank you to those of you who attend Sunday school. It is such an incredible thing. We have wonderful teachers. We've actually added 2 new Sunday school classes in this last year, which is awesome. And if you're not here for Sunday school, you are really missing out. It is well worth coming. Our Sunday school teachers work hard and prepare. It is a great time of discussion and dialogue and discipleship and growth. Make it a priority because it is fabulous. And so the numbers growth is great, right? Like, it's cool to see a church where more people are coming, and we've seen some people that are coming home. And we have seen some new faces. And both are equally exciting to me. People coming, people sticking around, people saying, hey, you know what? I kind of like what you guys have going on here. People liking it enough to invite their friends and coworkers and saying, hey, I believe in this body enough to want to bring other people here. Be encouraged by that. Not because it's butts in seats. Pardon my foul language. But because it's people believing in who we can be and what God is doing here. And as witness to that, 2 people this year were baptized into the body of Christ. 2 people in the life of this church in the last year said, I believe in Jesus enough to make a profession of faith in front of the entire body and say, I want to tie myself to the church of Jesus Christ and I want to be a disciple of Christ. Maybe I don't fully understand what all that means, because let's be honest. If my pastor friend who is 41 years deep in ministry can say I'm still learning, cool. It makes me feel great. But 2 people said, because of what's going on at this church, because of the Jesus that I have seen, I want to be a part of that, and I want to firm up my belief by participating in Christ's death and resurrection and being baptized into the church, and I want to receive more of God. I want to respond to His grace with these people at this church. Amen. Listen, if you hear anything today that excites you, get loud. Any Sunday that you hear anything that you like or excites you, like, don't be bumps on a log. Be as loud as you want. This is our time. This is our church, our service. We can worship our way. And if that's quiet for you, okay, cool. If you feel like you want to say something, you got that holy unction, go for it. We have new members. 2 by transfer. They're right here. It was me and Alyssa. So kind of cool, because somebody, like, we believed in this church and we believe God had called us here to be a part of this local body. So we transferred our membership and became your pastors. But we also had 2 new members that were not membership transfers. Yeah, woohoo indeed. We had 2 people who said, I believe in this church enough, not just to be baptized into the church of Jesus Christ, but I want to tie myself to the body at Ellington and the denomination of the Church of the Nazarene. I align with the doctrine and polity of the church. They went through the class. They gave testament to their faith. And they stood up and said, I want to learn what it is to be a leader in the body of Christ and be a member in the Church of the Nazarene and be a member in the body of Ellington. And I'm tying myself to you. What a wonderful thing. We had a healing service this year. You guys remember, those of you who were here? We had 11 people come up for healing. 11 people who said, I trust in God. I trust in the power that was alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Holy Spirit can move in me in this need. And they either came up for healing for themselves or as a proxy for someone else, because they believed that if I go, just like we saw people do with Jesus, and go and say, help, help, my daughter is dying or dead, Jesus said, because of your faith, I've healed her. And praise God, we have seen some healing. He's not here today, but I'm going to put Dwayne on blast anyway. Dwayne's feet were hurting and aching to the point that he was having to take painkillers regularly for them. He came up and he said, Pastor, please pray with me. And we did. And Dwayne hasn't needed painkillers since. His feet still ache a little bit, but it's dull and he can manage. But he doesn't have to take painkillers. And we know that painkillers are not good for the body, especially when used long term. And so we have seen God do miraculous healings in this church, in the spirit and in the body. Amen? What an exciting thing to see. And two people have recognized formally, God is calling me to pastoral ministry, and have responded to that call and received their local licenses, Dwayne Loney and Alyssa Bolton, as they pursue pastoral ministry. Yeah, I'm going to say yes. Praise God. Praise God that He is calling people to rise up and follow Him. And now you know where I stand. All believers are to be ministers. All believers are to be priests. But there is a special and distinct call toward pastoral ministry. And this church has said through their board, we will support and affirm and equip and empower to send, to raise up and send out more pastors. What an incredible thing. And on that sending out, one of our core values in the Church of the Nazarene is that we are missional. Shirley Berger has done an outstanding job in this last year. Shirley, I appreciate you so much as our NMI president. You keep the needs before me as the pastor and before this congregation as a whole of what is going on with Nazarene Missions International. And I want to just take a moment and thank you specifically. Thank you, Shirley. And not only that, but Shirley has been looking at ways for us to get involved in the community. This last year, we were able to sponsor a meal for homeless people, and then Shirley helped get the volunteers together to get over there and serve that meal that the church paid for to the homeless. So people are getting their needs met and hearing about Jesus Christ. Amen! That is exciting! You talk about missional on the local scale. We've had some people go. We talked about being a sending church. We've had 3 people go on missions trips. Robert Torres went to Africa with Poet. Our friend April Schmidt went to Nepal to teach pastors and to teach young women what God's looking for from us in response to His grace and how we love Him and serve Him with our bodies and what we do with them sexually. And that's a big deal, especially in places like that. Faith Berger went to Haiti to support our brothers and sisters, which I don't know if you know a lot about Haiti. There's a lot of political unrest. Voodoo is a really big deal. At one point in its history, the country basically sold itself to the devil for some prosperity. That has not lasted. And there is a strong spiritual battle between the Church of Jesus Christ and the gates of Hades that are trying to prevail against it. And Faith went to support, to build and work, to minister in the name of Christ. And we're so thankful she was safe, because when she got back, and we'll have an evening where we'll have our folks tell us more of the stories, but this is just to show how incredible this church is. We prayed for Faith. Faith made it back the day before Haiti closed its borders, and people were having to send private planes to get missionaries and workers out of the country. I believe that Faith is safe because of our prayers and our God watching over her. Our wild game dinner has seen numerous first time and reconnections with Jesus Christ, hearing the message of the gospel. Our craft fair opens our church up to hundreds and hundreds of visitors. And not just to open up the building that they might see, but the people who are here volunteering and giving of their time get to connect over coffee, over a little snack, with the vendors, with the visitors, and make meaningful connections that can impact lives in ways we don't necessarily recognize. Our church is active and engaged in the mission. As for our services, we took communion about 11 times. We hosted two ONU, Olivet Nazarene University ambassadors, which they were fabulous. I'm very excited to have them coming again. We've heard the message of the gospel, the good news of Christ, of holiness, of entire sanctification, and the purpose for salvation. And it goes beyond. Our ministries are not Sunday morning, and they're not just our events. Those are important. But we also have some new or revived ministries, things that are coming back to life that I'm excited to share about. Our Kids Club Wednesday night kids program has had many people volunteering, and we appreciate it. The kids are learning about the armor of God and learning how to pray. In fact, if you see a cross over here with Post-its, this is for the kids to be able to put their prayers on the cross. If they need help, if they need to confess, if they want to intercede for someone else, they have an opportunity to do so because of the work of this church, because we believe in equipping our young people for the future. And as a part of that, 25 kids and youths received Bibles here on behalf of this church, some of whom didn't have their own before that. We have Bible studies and book clubs for men and for women. People are growing. People are learning. And this church and this board have been faithful with their stewardship over the resources, over the building, through making sure that things are repaired so that they don't get broken worse and cost more. Volunteers have gotten up on the roof to replace shingles or fascia that's blown off in the wind, to replace our HVAC units and our refrigerators in the kitchen, and lights and light bulbs and fixtures and just so much more. So much more than I could have fit in the report. We had broken gym doors, and we had people that found a good deal on doors and then volunteered to fix them and spent a couple of days getting it right so that we have gym doors that close and protect our facilities. And because of the generosity of the people in this church, all of this was made possible. And because of the generosity of people in this church and some who have gone before, we were able to make an additional $30,000 payment toward our mortgage principal this past year. Because of the gifts and giving of you and those who have gone before, none of this would be possible without people coming together in the name of Jesus who love Him and serve Him and want to grow in Him. As I said, there's a little more in the reports. Take them, read them, enjoy them, savor them, praise God over them. But that's who we've been. And I don't want us to sit here and talk about who are we going to be. I want us to take a minute and dream, who can we be? I was going to preach on the disciplines today, but when I remembered, I'd made a promise to the board that I would give a state of the church address today, and two, I just really, we'll come back to that. We're coming into the Lenten season, starting with Ash Wednesday at 5:30 this week. We're going to have an Ash Wednesday service. It's going to be short. I encourage you to come out before kids club. So the sanctuary might look a little different, and there might be some kids decorations. That's okay. It's going to be the same Holy Spirit that shows up. And we'll walk through Lent together, and we'll walk through the disciplines at some point, but God has been building something in me for more than the last 51 weeks. If you'll remember when I first came, people would ask, what's the vision, what's the outreach strategy? The vision was, let's be a church that seeks God, that hears Him and then acts in obedience. I want us to take a look over this next year and dream around what it is to be a healing church. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, and 2, 4 through 11. 2 Corinthians. Austin, you want to move? Thanks. Paul is writing a second letter to the Corinthians. We'll come back to a little bit of why he wrote a second letter instead of going for a third visit. He gives his greeting, which is characteristic of Paul, and is a little bit more personal to the Corinthians because he's visited them twice, written to them once, and is now writing a second letter and has a special affection for them in a way that only a pastor can. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. That's a lot of times to use the word comfort in just a couple of sentences. And maybe that should tell us how important comfort is. When you're hurt, what do you want? This is not a trick question. When you're hurt, what do you want? Comfort. Food. Comfort food specifically. Amen. And that looks a little different for all of us. That comfort we crave, when we're hurt. We want the hurt to stop, right? I don't know if you've ever gotten a paper cut. I have. I had a paper cut once while I was cooking. We were making pico de gallo, and I got a paper cut from a book, and I got back to work, and I got lemon and lime juice all in the cut and salt. That was not comforting. That was not awesome. I did not like that. Now, I learned afterward, and here's just a special little knowledge nugget for you guys. If you get a paper cut, you just put some chapstick over it. It actually stops the bleeding and stops the hurt. I didn't know that. Immediate comfort, just chapstick. And I thought, well, that's great. I always have Carmex or chapstick in my pocket, so perfect. But all I wanted in that moment, I went and I rinsed out the cut. I washed it out. I put some Neosporin and a bandage on it, and I had comfort. And then I remember when my dog Tiger died, when we had to put him down. There was no amount of water and soap or Neosporin or Band-Aids that I could put on to heal my heart that day as I had to say goodbye to one of my best friends. All I wanted was to just curl up next to my wife and let her hold me and shush me like a baby and tell me, oh, it's going to be okay. I still get choked up thinking about him because I love that dog so much. And Alyssa held me, and we prayed together, and I started to find comfort, and then I started to find healing. And in the light of this, we recognize people need comfort to heal. That's why Paul talks about it so much and the importance of it. We also recognize that groups need comfort to heal. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope you have been experiencing some level of comfort through the preaching and teaching, through some of our relationships with me and with one another here in this church. I believe that we have, because I have seen some of the healing that has been happening. If you're visiting with us today, I know this is a weird Sunday. That's okay. Every church goes through this. Every church has experienced hurt. Why? Because we're people and we live life. Sometimes life knocks you around a little bit. Sometimes hard things come and go. It's choosing to look at that and say, well, that book is closed. That is over and done with. What do I do with the blank pages in front of me? Paul knows something about this in the church, and this Corinthian church did as well. As we take a look, 2 Corinthians 4, it's important to understand the context here. Paul went as pastor to this church, and he was insulted and run out in his second visit to Corinth. Somebody got some friends together, ran him out of the church, basically said, you don't know what you're doing, you're terrible and horrible, get out. And the church at Corinth was worried about Paul and wrote to him in love. And Paul is writing back telling them, listen, I'm not even that mad. And he says this. And sometimes we look at Paul as a firebrand, but why, we got to recognize Paul had a whole lot of love that came from understanding the comfort in Christ. And he wrote, and he's telling them, I chose not to come and visit again because I didn't want to stir up trouble. I didn't want to cause more problems. So I'm not coming back. Instead, I'm writing you this letter. And so in verse 4, he says, for I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, notice he does not call the offender by name. He knows who did it. It happened to him. He doesn't call anybody out. He puts nobody's name in the forefront of the community. Instead, just leaves it at, if anyone has caused grief. He has not so much grieved me as he's grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it too severely. And Paul here, he intentionally downplays the hurt and the incident. And now we see why. Verse 6, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. It's enough. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. I want to read that verse again. I urge you, therefore, reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We've talked about this. Satan, the enemy, wants to sow discord and hurt. He wants to put the lemon juice and the salt in the wound. He wants to pick at the scabs. He wants to keep us in pain so that we pull our eyes off of Christ and off of one another. But Christ wants to remind us constantly of the healing that he brings. The right relationship with the Heavenly Father through the forgiveness of sins and the power over sin. That he comforts us with his love and tenderness, saying, yes, I accept you, even you, to be my child. That is the Father's love for us. Christ comforts deeply. And he comforts us to share. He comforts us that we might then comfort others. Fifty-two weeks ago, I lived in Livonia. I worked in Detroit. I had come from time in Chicago. I'd come from some time in a very small church in Chicago. I'd come from some time in a very different world in which, over the course of my life, I have lived in many very, very different worlds. And when you do that, you get to see some things and lose some of the blindness I had as a child growing up, spending my entire life in one place. You get to see the good, and you get to see some of the hurt and the hardship. I don't bring this up just for the sake of our church, but that we would dare to dream of being a healing church. One that is continuing to experience healing. I know that there has been hurt. That is not unique to any one church. That is literally every church I have ever been to. I hear some mm-hmms. I know that there is a lot of good that we can choose to focus on and take comfort in. I also know that Paul didn't tell the Corinthian church, hey, the people who are hurt, who caused hurt, kick them out. He said, the people who have caused the hurt, listen, what's already happened is enough. They've been punished enough. Let's comfort them. Let's restore them. Let's bring them back in. Let's make sure they're receiving the comfort of Christ. And that's where I want us to see. And that's what I want us to live in. And that is the vision. That is the passion that God has put in my heart. And I want to share with you from my 51 weeks in this community of faith, and of life in the thumb, of stripping away any preconceptions I may have had, of growing and learning, studying, investing in. Did you know that the thumb is included in some of the nationwide epidemic of opioid addiction? Does that break your heart like it breaks mine? Did you know that the thumb has crumbling marriages? Did you know that the thumb has homeless people, and the thumb has people who can't afford their bills? Did you know that the thumb has farmers who are a bad crop year away from killing themselves, and that every year we see it? What if, and this is just a wild dream that I want you to dream with me, and I want you to pray over, and I want you to put yourself into. What if this church, Ellington, that has been able to put extra money toward the principal because of God's great blessings on us, that is kicking off new and revived ministries, that is looking for new ways to minister. What if the Holy Spirit was so alive here and bringing so much comfort that it was spilling over into our neighborhoods? What if people were beginning to see a healing work that was going on here in this community so strong that they knew, if I just get there, like the woman who was bleeding for years said, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, I know I'll be healed. What if we became that kind of place where somebody could come with a drug addiction and they knew that they would find the comfort of Christ and healing here? What if they could come with their failing marriages and say, I don't know what to do, and find the love of Christ that just so strongly enveloped them, they could begin to heal? What if this church took in the people that are struggling with sexual immorality? Growing up in the church, oh, that's the sin we love to hate. No matter what that sexual immorality looked like, no matter how it manifested itself, we said the comfort of Christ is here for you. Begin to find healing. What if that's how we responded to grace together? This past sermon series, Responding to Grace, it has been all about God's trying to save His people. What if we, instead of launching program initiatives designed to try and attract people in and integrate them into our church, found ways to go out and integrate ourselves and our church into their lives where they are? If the power of Christ, the power of gospel, good news, message of Christ, reconciliation to the Father, and the healing work that He can do the new creative work that He wants to do in the life of every believer was taking root in us so strongly that we couldn't help but let it spill over and take it out with us. What would our world around us look like? What would the thumb look like? Dream on that for a minute. What could the thumb become if we were a healing church? Because I see it already forming that way. I already see the Spirit doing that. And I don't say, what if we could become that, because that doesn't exist at all here. I say, because maybe we need to be a little bit more intentional around those things. One of the core values of the kingdom is healing. In our particular beliefs in eschatology, which is just end times theology, what's going to happen? God establishes a kingdom and makes all things right. But we believe that that work actually began with Jesus. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit that was alive in Christ, as we've talked about, began restoring new life into people and righting wrongs of this world. And that the Holy Spirit is now available to all believers to take and do that new creative work as Christ is purifying us and saving us from lives of ourselves and from lives of sin and from the drug addictions and from a life of crime and from a life of sexual immorality and from a life of dishonesty and from just a life of selfishness and a life of just focusing on my own pleasure and a life of focusing on worldly things. Things that aren't that bad. Some things that we in the church just kind of go, oh yeah, it's not that bad because it doesn't really tear society apart. Yeah, doesn't it though? He is saving us from those things to His kingdom purposes, to be healers in our world. So take this time, dream with me. What could our community look like? What could our area look like? Not if Caro did it, not if Colling did it, not if Callwood did it, not if Cass City did it. If we did it. If we let Christ do it in us. So this next year, as you dream and as you pray, we're all different people with different talents, different gifts, different abilities, different passions, and that is by design. We are a body made up of many members. And each member serves a different function. There's some overlap. We have multiple hands. We have multiple fingers. So it is with the church. But with Christ as our head, what can we do? Over this next year, I want to find ways to empower you. I want you to dream, and I want you to focus on your passions. Toward how can we become a healing church? That community where comfort of Christ is alive and healing takes place. You might not know what that means. Don't worry, I'm going to have some sermons geared towards some of that. And don't worry, I'm going to find some ways to bring in some training for some of that. I say I, it's we. Your board is my leadership team. They are integral in this, and this came out of sessions with them and a lot of prayer. But as you think on this, how do we become a place where healing is found, and how do we take that out to those who need it? I'm not giving you a weekly challenge, I'm giving you a yearly challenge this Sunday. Know that I am walking with you. Know that I love you and care about you, and know that I am in this for the long haul, as many years as you will allow me and as the Lord will allow me to be your pastor. I will be your pastor. I will partner with you. I will walk alongside you. I will minister with you. I'll do my best to shepherd you faithfully, just as I have these last 51 weeks. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how desperately we need you. We thank you so much for the good things that you are already at work doing here at Ellington. We praise you and we give you glory. Thank you, God, for the healing that is taking place, the comfort of your Son through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we find in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the lives that are being transformed through comfort and healing that comes from you. Thank you for those who said, I want to be baptized because I recognize God is working and I want to respond. Thank you for putting in us faithful stewardship. Thank you for revival, a new life, a new creative work that you do. Thank you for a passion in us to go out Lord, it is our prayer that we would become a place of safety, a community, a family, where there is forgiveness, where there is comfort, where there is healing for one another and for those who don't yet know you. And that as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we know that you are with us, saving us, patiently forbearing our sins as we come to you. Lord, we pray for our community. There is so much good here that we thank you for here in the Thumb. Such a dedication, so many people to their families and to their friends and to the community, of partnering together and being generous with one another, with money, with resources, with time. People that just love to help one another out. And Lord, we pray over the hurts that are a part of the devil's schemes to break us apart and dismember the body and keep us in pain so that we don't trust in you for comfort, so that we don't find you. I pray that the enemy would fail and that you would succeed. Make us people that work to that end, that are experiencing you fresh and anew. And taking your word out. Going into the enemy's camp and taking back prisoners and seeing them made free in Christ. God, we need you to do it. We're not powerful, smart enough, strong enough on our own. This isn't something we can just strategize away and organize into. It's got to come from you. So Lord, we ask, take us. Take us there. To be a place of freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you again for letting me be one of you. Would you stand and receive a blessing today? Now may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, comfort you in your distress, strengthen you and lead you and guide you into his freedom and peace. Amen. You're dismissed.